Good morning, and welcome to another edition of the Charlottesville Quarantine Report. I'm Sean Tubbs, the creator of the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. I began this program 2 months ago to help document how local and state officials are responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. This has mostly taken the form of a podcast, but I'm grateful to WPVC for granting me this space to bring you this information. This week, Virginia enters into phase one of the Forward Virginia Plan, a gradual reopening of the economy if certain health metrics are met.
We cannot act as if things are back to normal because they are clearly not.
Northern Virginia will not begin phase one at this time. Phyllis Randall is the chair of the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors.
Unfortunately for now, phase zero restrictions on gatherings and businesses remains in place for our area.
Before we begin the show, let's go through some of the numbers. The Virginia Department of Health is reporting another 853 new cases of COVID-19 in Virginia today, for a cumulative total of 28,672. In the Thomas Jefferson Health District, Albemarle has seen 133 cases. Charlottesville has seen 71 cases, and there have been 79 cases in Fluvanna County, 16 cases in Greene, 59 in Louisa, and 12 in Nelson. Across the state, there have been 977 deaths. You know by now that it has been over 2 months since the state of emergency began, and several weeks since many businesses were closed to slow the spread of COVID-19. Ever since, though, there has been pressure from some circles to open everything back up. You've seen the protests, and if you remember back on an earlier show from April 22nd, when the General Assembly met, there were a bunch of car horns. At least one lawsuit has been filed by the Lighthouse Fellowship Church that's a congregation in Chincoteague, Virginia, on the Eastern Shore. And that lawsuit was to drop restrictions on places of worship. The U.S. Department of Justice sided with the church. So as I record this, it is the morning of May 15th, 2020, and this is the day that much of Virginia is supposed to go into phase one. One reason for that, and it's not the only one, is because the number of tests has increased. Here's Governor Northam speaking on Wednesday, May 13th.
As we have said, robust testing is a critical piece of our plan to slowly ease restrictions in phase one. We are getting there, and that is one reason why I feel comfortable in allowing phase one to begin this Friday for most of our Commonwealth. As we have discussed in these briefings, moving to phase one depends on meeting a set of health metrics, an increasing number of tests, a downward trend in the percent of tests that come back positive, a downward trend in the number of COVID patients in our hospitals, the availability of hospital beds, and the availability of PPE. As a Commonwealth, these metrics are trending in the right direction.
The governor tends to repeat the same messages over and over at these press conferences, and on Wednesday, he repeated that entering phase one would not be like turning on a light switch. Let's hear those details again.
We will restrict non-essential retail and houses of worship to 50% of the building's capacity. Gyms and fitness centers must remain closed, but we'll allow them to do outdoor fitness options until we get into phase two. Restaurants must remain closed, but we will allow those with outdoor seating to use that at 50% capacity. We'll allow salons and barbershops to operate with strict requirements for social distancing and face coverings. And we will follow the same metrics which allowed us to get into phase one when we determine entering phases two and three.
This week, I've seen many people, friends of mine, critiquing the governor for opening things back up. I've seen others remind those people that it's not that simple. Let's hear from Northam.
As we enter phase one, we will still maintain the ban on gatherings of more than 10 people. We still urge businesses to keep their employees teleworking, and we strongly encourage the use of face coverings in public. We'll require face masks for some businesses, such as restaurants and salons, and require essential retail businesses to provide masks for their employees. More detailed guidance for Phase 1 is available on our website. Phase 1 represents a small step forward, but we will remain vigilant. We will continue to monitor health data closely. I again want to remind all Virginians, this virus has not gone away, and everyone needs to act accordingly. Continue to stay 6 feet from others. Wear face coverings, not just to protect yourself, but to protect other people. You will be safer at home unless you need to go out. Moving forward requires us all to act responsibly. We cannot act as if things are back to normal because they are clearly not.
There are more cases of COVID-19 in the localities that make up Northern Virginia. That means there is a higher likelihood of more outbreaks in the future, and so that region of the state is not going to enter into Phase 1 at this time. Please read Executive Order 62 if you can. It's in the show notes.
I have said that if specific regions are not meeting the health metrics, our administration will work with them on delaying implementation of Phase 1. That is what localities in the Northern Virginia region have done. Northern Virginia is our most populous region by far and shares its economy and its workforce with D.C. and Maryland. Our health metrics show that the majority of Virginia's positive cases are in the Northern Virginia region. And while that region's percentage of positive tests is trending downward, it still has a higher percent of positive cases and of people hospitalized with a positive or pending test. So I have delayed the implementation of Phase 1 in Northern Virginia for an additional 2 weeks.
Northam invited officials from Northern Virginia to participate in his briefing on Wednesday. We're going to begin this section with David Tarter. He's the mayor of Falls Church and the chair of the Northern Virginia Regional Commission.
Based on the latest information from our health directors, the elected leaders of our region have spoken together to request that Governor Northam consider the Northern Virginia data separately from the rest of the state. The governor has done so with Executive Order 62, which was issued yesterday. We thank Governor Northam for his willingness to listen and act on our behalf, and for recognizing that one size does not fit all when it comes to the complex work of saving lives. I'm joined today by some of my colleagues from Northern Virginia, who will each speak about the need for a responsible reopening process that will, when the data supports it, protect our communities and allow for a healthy and strong recovery. I will pass this along to Jeff McKay, Chair of the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors. Mr. McKay.
Thank you very much, Mayor Tarter, and thank the governor for including us today. Most importantly, I want to thank the governor for recognizing that the DC metropolitan area, that includes the District, Maryland, and Virginia, is one cohesive region. And frankly, folks from all those jurisdictions cross jurisdictional boundaries every single day by the thousands, making our region very cohesive, but also making it important for us to consider how we can coordinate with the district in Maryland to make sure that we're protecting the safety of our entire community. We have thousands of people a day who use public transit and use our metro system to go in between those jurisdictions, and it's important that there not be huge variations in the rollout of phases as we move forward so that we don't unnecessarily confuse business owners, confuse our residents, and confuse our houses of worship as we move forward. As we know, this virus does not know jurisdictional boundaries, and so we must remain a coordinated metropolitan Washington as we move forward to protect our residents. The whole DMV is united in reopening our economy. We want to do it as quickly and safely as we possibly can. And we thank you for recognizing that our metrics are not there at this point, and that as a region, we have to make sure that we coordinate with all of our partners, including the mayor of the District of Columbia and the governor of Maryland. I am going to pass this to the Arlington County Board Chair, Libby Garvey.
Thank you so much, Chair McKay. And thank you, Governor, for having us here. I'm actually, I think, going to emphasize your remarks, and I'm really pleased to be able to do this. Northern Virginia represents nearly one-third of the population of Virginia, but half of the Commonwealth's cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. The most responsible path forward for us is to maintain our current operating status until the phase one criteria laid out by the governor are met for Northern Virginia. And so, over the next 2 weeks, we will continue to focus on those metrics criteria across our region. And these include a downward trend of positive test results and hospitalizations over a period of 14 days, sufficient hospital beds and intensive care capacity, an increasing and sustainable supply of personal protective equipment such as masks, respirators, gloves, and gowns, and increased testing and tracing. Analysis by our region's public health directors shows that all five metrics are either unmet for Northern Virginia or cannot be determined based on currently available data. And I now will turn it over to Loudoun County Chair Phyllis Randall.
Thank you, Chair Garvey, and thank you to the governor. So in Northern Virginia, we are looking forward to when we can safely move to phase one as determined by our health directors. We are not expecting different rules, just a timeline that makes sense for the data our health directors are seeing. Because Northern Virginia is so interconnected, we are taking a regional approach rather than moving to phase one locality by locality. The governor's new executive order, number 62, extends phase zero into May 29. There is nothing I want more than to be able to enter phase one at that time. We will all continue to talk with the governor's team and our health director to monitor those metrics closely. Unfortunately for now, phase zero restrictions on gatherings and businesses remains in place for our area. Everyone, please stay home, except for essential trips like purchasing food and obtaining medical care. Gatherings of 10 people or more are still not allowed, including places of worship. Please continue to support locally owned restaurants with carry out and delivery, and businesses like theaters and gyms are not yet open. Lastly, I want to say to my county, Loudoun, I realize how much our small businesses are suffering. It is not lost on me. We will move to phase one the moment our health directors determine we can do so safely. Thank you so much. And I'm going to pass it to my friend, the Chair of Prince William County, Ann Wheeler.
Thank you, Chair Randall. And thank you, Governor Northam, for having us today. The question is, how do we get to phase one as expediently as possible? Really, it's going to be by people listening. It all has to do with personal responsibility. This means staying at home except for essential trips. It goes without saying, if you're sick, stay at home. Use strict physical distancing of at least 6 feet when you're around people outside your own household. Wear a cloth face covering when in community areas, including when inside businesses. And don't forget the basics. Wash your hands frequently, clean and disinfect surfaces, and cover cough sneezes. These practices worked. They've been slowing cases, the rate of new cases in Virginia. Residents in every Northern Virginia locality must follow the same rules. If we do not, it will have major implications across our region. Again, we need to continue our efforts so we see a declining number of cases in the Northern Virginia region over a 14-day period. Entering phase one will take personal responsibility. Let's do this together. With that, I will pass it along to Alexandria Mayor Justin Wilson to finish us out.
Thank you very much, Chair Wheeler, and thank you to the governor. We want to thank all of our residents in the region for taking personal responsibility to help each other make it through this shared crisis. We are especially grateful to our essential workers, our first responders, our healthcare workers, and all of our city, county, and town municipal staff. These folks are on the front lines every day to help keep us safe and keep our economy moving. We also want to make sure that everyone who is checking on a neighbor, staying in touch with family and friends, and just spreading hope and cheer. It's good to have a buddy you can help, to ask for help. And taking care of our own mental health and the mental health of others is equally an important part of the response to this crisis. We all, to echo my colleagues, we all want to reopen the economy as quickly as we can, but we need to do that as safely as we can. Public health and the economy go hand in hand, and the foundation of a strong economy is public health. We appreciate throughout this crisis the governor's data-driven approach, and we will stay focused on the data as we look forward to reopening. I want to thank Governor Northam, his staff, the administration, all of my colleagues on this call and throughout Northern Virginia, and all of our residents and businesses for their sacrifice during this time.
That last voice was Justin Wilson, the mayor of Alexandria, speaking Wednesday at a press conference on why Northern Virginia is not entering into phase one for at least two more weeks. As we close out this section, here's one more piece of information. Virginia's Department of Motor Vehicles is going to begin to reopen slowly. On Monday, May 18th, 11 branches will open across seven of the Commonwealth's eight regions. None of these will be in Northern Virginia, which, as we've just heard, is not quite ready to open yet. You'll only be able to go to the DMV for things that can absolutely not be done in person, such as getting a new driver's license. And when you go, it's going to have to be by appointment, and you'll wait in your car. Another thing that's going to happen is you'll be able to get some testing at pharmacies across the state.
Pharmacies and drugstores are stepping up to help with testing. Rite Aid has been doing testing in two sites, performing more than 1,200 swab PCR tests through this past Monday. I'm grateful to these retailers that are working with us to increase our testing, and we'll continue to see more of this. For example, in the coming days, I think we'll hear some exciting news about Walmart and their testing efforts.
You're listening to the Charlottesville Quarantine Report for May 15th, 2020. This is the segment of the show where we usually have public service announcements. However, I haven't had time to look through the email box to try to write one. Just a point about those, nobody is paying me to do this program, and there's no quid pro quo for any of the things that I've said. The point is, I'm a community journalist, and what I have wanted to do my entire life is figure out ways to make sure people know other things that are going on, and to get them to get some information that they might not have in their head right now. That's the whole point of this. If you're enjoying this program, thank you very much for listening. Please share it with your friends. I really would like to get more people listening to this program and other programs that might be appearing in the near future. I've been a radio producer for 25 years now, or at least I was for quite a long time until I've taken a long break until recently. I'm really enjoying bringing this to you. It's really difficult times for so many people, including myself, and doing this work is really helping keep me sane and helping me keep focused on the future. Anyway, I'd like it if you would please send me some public service announcements so I can stop doing this stuff off the top of my head. For this segment, we're going to hear more from Governor Ralph Northam's press conference from May 13th, 2020. While that may seem like it is out of date, there's a lot of information here. COVID-19 has affected local governments across Virginia, with many having to reduce budgets due to sharp declines in local tax revenues.
Earlier this week, we announced we will send $650 million in federal financial aid through the CARES Act to our local governments to help them pay for the cost of responding to this pandemic. And I'll repeat that, $650 million. We have additional federal dollars, and one of our priorities for that money will be paying for the increased testing and contact tracing that we will need moving forward. Our Department of Health is working to hire many more contact tracers for each health region. They'll be working in communities and through our call centers. VDH has worked with several staffing companies to help speed this process and has received more than 3,000 resumes.
One of the most worthwhile parts of these briefings are the questions from Virginia's reporters. Let's take a listen.
We'd be glad to take your questions.
The first is from Kate Masters of the Virginia Mercury.
Yeah, about contact tracing. tracing. I was hoping to clarify what will happen when you identify the contacts of the cases that we're picking up through testing. You know, when these tracers find a contact of a positive case, will those people then be able to be tested? Will they be required to be isolated? What happens?
Yes, so the question is, how does the contact tracing process move forward?
This question was answered in part by Dr. Norm Oliver, Virginia's health commissioner.
Correct me if I missed something. When we identify someone who's a contact, that's someone who may have been exposed to the disease, we first of all want to find out whether or not they're feeling well, what their symptoms are, and so on. If it appears through that conversation that they're actually symptomatic and need testing to find out whether or not they have COVID-19, then we would arrange for that testing to occur. And if they are a primary contact with significant exposure to the index case, then we would ask them to self-quarantine and then follow up with them through that 14-day period to ensure that they don't develop symptoms and need care.
Do you have a definition for primary contact?
What I mean by primary contact is if I'm a case and you and I have been standing within 6 feet of each other talking and so on for longer than 10 minutes, you would be a contact who we want to self-quarantine. But if you then spent time with Henry, that secondary person wouldn't be someone that we would isolate.
The first question on the phone will be from Alan Suderman at the Associated Press.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon,
the
Alan.
White House on Monday recommended that states start testing or make sure they test every nursing home resident and staff in the next 2 weeks. Is that something that's, that Virginia is able to do? How many nursing home residents is that? Is that a doable target? And then one other question on the phase one is, I just want to clarify, it's just Northern Virginia that is being delayed. If any other locality between now and Friday asks to delay, is that a possibility, like the Eastern Shore or the city of Richmond?
Alan, I'm going to be nice and answer both of your questions today, but I appreciate them. To date, we have only had one locality, one region, that has requested through their leadership, as you just saw, to delay entering phase one. If there are other regions in Virginia that have concerns, that have been following their metrics, that feel that they aren't ready to enter phase one, I haven't heard from them personally, and I would encourage them to go through the same process that the folks in Northern Virginia did. But to date, the only region that we've heard from is Northern Virginia. The first question that Mr. Suderman asked was our nursing homes and our goals on testing not only the residents but the staff at the nursing homes. And just an estimate, we have about 260 long-term care facilities in Virginia, and we are committed to testing all of those facilities. Alan, your question, part of your question was, will that be done in the next 2 weeks? That perhaps is a bit of an ambitious goal, but we're going to test these facilities just as quickly as we can. As you have heard me speak before, we have the National Guard that's helping us. The nursing homes also have the ability to contract through private testing facilities such as Quest and LabCorp. And as you know, we have relief funds that have come into Virginia from the CARES Act, and we are working with our Secretary of Finance, Secretary Lane, to make sure that we have the available resources that we can help nursing homes do that testing. So the approach is going to be an all hands on deck for our nursing homes, and our goal is to be able to test all of them. And I think another thing that people need to realize is that if we're able to test all of these in, let's say, the next 2 or 3 weeks or however long that takes, there may be reasons that we need to go back and test the facility again. So this is going to be an ongoing process, and the more staffing, the more PPE, the more testing capabilities we have, the better able we'll be able to do that. But we have, you've heard me talk about this before, the nursing homes, the long-term care facilities are some of our most vulnerable population, and we are doing everything that we can to keep the residents of these facilities and also the staff of these facilities healthy.
So experts have said a surge of cases is inevitable following even a partial reopening. So does your administration have any specific modeling on how these policy decisions could impact hospitalizations and new cases in the state?
The question is as we ease the restrictions and enter phase one, there is the potential to have increased cases. And Jackie, the answer to your question is yes, we do. And we're in a position to enter phase one because we have the hospital capacity, because we have PPE, because we have the testing capabilities. And so all of these parameters will continue to be followed. And you know, even we talk about if there are more cases in the next few weeks, we're ready for that. The other thing, quite realistically, that we have to think about, what about this fall and winter? Assuming there's no vaccination, there's no cure, if you will, for this, we've got to be ready for that. And so we're not only preparing for tomorrow, we're preparing for months and years down the road. And I think, you know, speaking on behalf of not only Virginia, but this country, we were caught flat-footed by this pandemic. We weren't ready. We didn't have the testing capability. We didn't have the PPE. And we've learned a significant lesson. I know we have here in Virginia. And so we'll be ready if there are increased cases this month, if there are increased cases this fall or next year. We're planning ahead for that.
Do you post specific numbers on hospitalization? Do you know that off the top of your head? What that modeling shows, we could have X amount more hospitalizations.
Well, I think the question is about our hospitalization capacity, and I think you've seen, and I could go back and show you the graph again, we have capacity up to a certain amount, and then we have a surge capacity that's available. But I want to kind of follow up on your question a little bit. You're asking a lot of questions that we don't have answers for, and I will remind Virginians that this is a novel virus. We're learning every day how it affects human beings. We're learning every day how it affects children. I mean, a month ago, we didn't see this Kawasaki syndrome, this inflammatory vasculitis process. And so for me to sit here and say exactly what we'll need next month or a year from now, it's pretty difficult to say exact numbers. But I will tell you that we're preparing for the future and we'll be ready.
The next question is from Roger Watson of the Farmville Herald.
Thank you, Governor. At state prisons where outbreaks have occurred, have the staffing levels been reduced to protect employees from the virus? And if so, what percentage is the staffing level currently at?
The question is answered by Brian Moran. He's Virginia's Public Safety Secretary.
Thank you, Governor. Having to do with the outbreaks at our state prisons and the staffing levels to accommodate the security of those prisons. We have not experienced a significant staffing shortage. Great commitment on part of our correctional officers. Also, we're taking steps to separate where there is an outbreak in a particular unit. DOC takes extraordinary steps to make sure that that unit is separated from others. Protections for our correctional officers in terms of their DOC masks and other hygiene that is provided. So, and I do again want to thank the effort with respect to testing at our correctional facilities. This week we did Dilwyn, thanks to the Guard and Dr. Flarno's group and VDH and others to make sure that we can do point prevalence testing at our correctional facility so we know how many individuals are indeed infected. As we know, you can be asymptomatic. With that knowledge, DOC can take steps to make sure we separate, quarantine, and take all the appropriate CDC recommended guidelines and actions to ensure the safety and health of those in our custody.
For those who applaud you and say thank you for placing health over wealth, and they are excited about your decisions to keep Virginians safe. On the other hand, some say that you've ruined the economy, you've hurt people's livelihoods and their lives. How do you talk about the painstaking decisions and work that your administration put forward in dealing with those two dynamics? And then on sidebar, when it comes to some of these restrictions, with a lot of our law enforcement entities already being understaffed and taxed, is it too much for them to maybe go to restaurants and make sure people are following procedures, go to churches, go to barber shops and beauty salons?
Great questions. And the second one, let me just answer the second one first, if I could, and that's, will we be able to enforce the guidelines that we have in place? And the answer to that is, yes, we will. Again, we were asked for the cooperation of Virginians, and I think for the most part, we have received that. But if there are some individuals that don't want to abide by our rules, we will give not only the agencies such as the Department of Health or the ABC or law enforcement the ability to go in and enforce the guidelines. So again, you've heard me talk a lot. I'm a carrot person rather than a stick. But we will have a stick if we need to use it. But we will continue to encourage Virginians that they're all part of this solution and moving towards phase two and phase three. The first part of Andre's question was the decisions that we make regarding the health crisis and the economic crisis. And I think that's a really fair question. And we realize that we are in the middle of a health crisis. We are also in the middle of an economic crisis. You've heard me talk about this in the past. Until we can get the health crisis behind us, the economy will never recover. So my emphasis, our administration's emphasis, and I think really Virginia's emphasis has been on the safety and well-being of Virginians. And so we'll continue to emphasize that. That will be our focus. But we also realize that the economy plays a part. People have lost their jobs. People are making tremendous sacrifices. And so we will all continue to work together to put this health crisis behind us, to get it under as best control as we can. And that will allow us to move forward with economic recovery. And Andre, I know you've heard me say this before, but we live in the best state, in the best country in the world. And going into COVID-19, we were number one in the country as far as our business environment. Our unemployment rate, if we remember back, was 2.6%. It was one of the lowest we'd had in many years. The amount of capital investment in the last 2 years that had come into Virginia was record-breaking at close to $30 billion with a B dollars. And so we were strong prior to COVID-19, and if we continue to work together as a Commonwealth, we'll come out of this as strong. So that's my goal, and that's what I'm committed to doing as governor. We'll look forward to seeing you on Friday. And this is just planning for all of you, and I know planning is important. And unless I hear differently, we have Memorial Weekend coming up, which starts on the 22nd, Memorial Day being on the 25th. And after that time, because Memorial Day is on a Monday, we will have these press conferences on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we'll go from three a week to two a week. You all don't have to stand up and applaud all at one time. But anyway, that's the plan as we move forward. But it's very important to me and hopefully to you that we continue to provide you updated and accurate information. And so if we need to have other press conferences or if we need to release more information to the press on days other than when we're having our press conferences, we will surely work with you and do that. So
that was Governor Ralph Northam speaking at the Wednesday, May 13th, 2020 briefing to the press. Now, since that went out, there has been another one, so this might be a little out of date, but I do encourage you to continue to listen to the show in its podcast form, which you can get by Googling Charlottesville Quarantine Report and my name, I think. This show was set up quite rapidly, and I'm sort of making it up as I go along, but I think it's important to bring you as much of this information as possible, and I encourage you to try to seek out as many sources as you can. That's the whole point of living in a democracy such as this. We don't necessarily like all of the politicians that we have, and we're in that situation, definitely. In But it's important, though, as we go through this pandemic, to realize that this is something that is new. We are in a new time. What came before is over, and we have to figure out how to make a better community. And for me, it's through providing information to you just like this. I'm Sean Tubbs, the Charlottesville Quarantine Report host and the head of the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, bringing you this information. Thank you for listening to the program today. If you'd like to learn more about the program, feel free to send me an email to wordcast@gmail.com. I'm also looking for any stories that you might have or anything you think I should know about. Drop me a line to wordcast@gmail.com. We'll be back with another podcast quite soon. The next one will take us to the Friday, May 15th briefing, which is scheduled to happen in a couple of hours. I'm Sean Tubbs. Thank you for listening. I already did that Sean Tubbs thing, didn't I? Yeah.